Hello, I'm Laura Highland. I'm the head of the Learning Academy at Education for Health. And in this podcast, I'll be talking about remote consultations. Joining me for the first part of the podcast, I've got Janet, who is a patient with a long-term condition. And I've asked her to tell me a little bit about her experience of consultations and care during the COVID-19 pandemic. So, Janet, can you just tell me a little bit about yourself?
Hello, I'm Jana. I'm 67 and I was diagnosed with type 2 diabetes about 18 months ago. I didn't really have any particular symptoms. It was just following a blood pressure check, went on from there, and they diagnosed diabetes. I've been taking medication for the past 18 months. I'm on metformin and tablets for blood pressure. And since taking those, there's been quite a marked improvement in my health in relation to diabetes.
Fantastic, thank you. So it's been almost a year now since we first went into lockdown due to COVID. And have you had any reviews or consultations around your diabetes since then?
I've had one review over the phone with the same diabetes nurse that I'd seen in person. I must admit I didn't find it as easy as a personal consultation, but there were no real problems, and maybe that's because things were improving for me.
When you say you didn't find it quite as easy, were there any particular aspects that you struggled with?
I just found it wasn't as easy to perhaps discuss all the things I wanted to discuss. I felt that there was less time than when you've actually got an appointment in the surgery. I just felt it had to be over with a bit more quickly, and they can't do the checks and things, particularly with feet, that they do for you. You have to do it yourself and you just hope you get it right.
And was it a telephone consultation that you did or a video consultation?
It was just a telephone consultation.
And if, I suppose the first question is, were you offered a video consultation or was telephone the only option?
Telephone was the only option.
Okay. And I'll try and be delicate, Janet, but you are of retirement age. Had you been offered a video consultation, how would you have felt about that?
Probably a little bit apprehensive. I would have done it, but I wouldn't have been quite sure that I would have done it properly.
Oh, so you were relieved it was a telephone consultation and it was with a nurse that you'd met previously. So that's good. So in terms of the consultation itself, how long did it last?
It was only about 10 minutes.
And was it all very diabetes focused or was it more general?
It was very diabetes focused. I was just asked, you know, how I was feeling. I'd had some blood tests taken and we went through the results. She asked about my mood, but very much diabetes focused.
Okay, so it was very much a regular diabetes review.
Yes, it was.
And that consultation that you had with the nurse, was it more than 6 months ago?
It was more than 6 months ago, yes.
And have you had any other communication since then, any further treatment?
I haven't had any further communication. I did have some forms sent and I should have some more blood tests, but I haven't been to the hospital for those yet, basically because I wasn't comfortable going to the hospital during the pandemic, but nobody has followed it up.
And if you don't mind me asking, what were those further blood tests for?
Just to check how things were going with the medication and to check my sugar levels and things like that.
Okay, so overall, how would you rate that experience of having had a remote consultation?
It was okay, but I would have preferred it to be face to face.
Fantastic, thank you very much. I was really keen to talk to Janet. As a patient who was relatively recently diagnosed with a long-term condition, I was interested to see how she found that experience of remote consultation. Obviously, as she told us, it's not her preference and she'd much rather see a healthcare professional face to face, as I think would the majority of patients. But Janet's also very realistic and accepting of the world that we're living in at the moment. What I'd like to spend the next few minutes doing is just having a think about some of those challenges that Janet mentioned and how, as professionals, we might look to overcome them when carrying out remote consultations. I think a lot of the difficulties with Janet's consultation stemmed from the fact that it was carried out over the telephone, And for some patients, it's probably as fundamental as they're not comfortable talking on the telephone. Obviously, it can be more difficult if they or the healthcare professional have an accent, if there is complicated language that needs to be interpreted or technical terms. It's more difficult to have that really clear and frank conversation and to check that both parties are understanding one another. As professionals, we often rely on people's body language or their facial expressions to interpret not only that they're understanding what we're telling them or what we're discussing, but also how they're feeling in general. How often do we ask somebody, "How are you?" and they respond with, "Oh, I'm fine," but their face or their posture or the way they're clenching their hands tells us something very different. And in a telephone conversation, we don't have those visual clues to help us. In the current climate, where face-to-face consultations aren't always an option at the moment, I suppose video consultations are the next best thing, and they certainly allow us to have that visual interaction. However, as Janet indicated, there will be patients who aren't comfortable using a video consultation. It's really easy to generalise, but it may be that more elderly patients aren't comfortable using technology. They're not sure how to use a video consultation. They may not even have the devices, the smartphones, the iPads, the laptops that enable them to do this. And again, as professionals, we're becoming increasingly confident and comfortable with platforms such as Zoom or Teams because we're having to use them much more certainly for conversations with our colleagues and potentially with our patients. But it can be quite a daunting experience for patients who aren't comfortable with it. Even for those who are more familiar with things like Teams, there's always that issue of technology. Are you going to have good bandwidth on the day? Are you going to have a good signal? And can you guarantee that you're going to be in the right place at the right time for that consultation to get to your computer? I think we can prioritise appointments in our everyday lives if we know we've got to go into the surgery for a review, if we know we've got to go into the hospital for a test. We prioritise that, we make the time, we block it out in our diaries. But when we're doing these things from home, it can be very difficult when you've got commitments such as childcare, or if you've got other people in the house, or something as simple as the doorbell ringing at the time when you need to log on for your virtual review. It can be really difficult to award it the same priority as you would a face-to-face appointment. So I suppose one of the things that's really important for healthcare professionals is to reiterate to patients that this is the equivalent of a face-to-face appointment, and they need to give it the same level of importance in their daily life. They need to make it clear to their partners, to their dependents, to work, that this is something that they need to make time for and they need to attend literally for the good of their health. There are a lot of strengths of video consultations, and these are discussed further in this week's fact sheet. But from our perspective, the reality is that not all surgeries are able to offer this facility at the moment, and telephone consultations may be the only option. And one of the things that Janet really picked up on was that difficulty with practical aspects of a review. So as a diabetes patient, she has previously had a foot exam by the nurse, but having to carry it out herself, I imagine, was quite a daunting experience. She was concerned about getting it wrong, concerned about missing something that later on might be really important in managing her foot health. And while as professionals we can to an extent talk patients through things like foot exams, like inhaler technique, I think we need to be really mindful of the fact that patients will have concerns, and we need to think about any other resources that we can direct them to, any other ways in which we can support them when we're not meeting face to face. So for something like a foot exam, I imagine Janet would have found it very helpful to be directed to a YouTube video, to a self-training guide, even to an information leaflet that talked her through the process, to have a look at some photographs of things that she might need to look out for, to pinpoint the exact parts of her foot that she needed to be examining. And so really, if we are having to deliver consultations by telephone, we just need to be conscious and aware of those other places that we can direct patients for more information, and also encourage them to ask if they had any questions. Janet mentioned that she felt the consultation was quite rushed and that there might have been other things that she wanted to discuss, but she didn't feel that there was time to do so. And I really think that's a key point. As a professional delivering a virtual consultation, we need to make that time for questions, and we need to make it explicit for the patient when we're coming to the end of the formal part of the review, make sure we're saying, is there anything else you wanted to discuss? Is there anything that you're not clear on? Is there anything else that you'd like to go over again? To make it feel that that consultation is being given as much importance as it would if it was being carried out face to face in the surgery. The other thing that Janet talked about was that lack of follow-up. So she'd had her annual review, which is fine, but it had been indicated that she needed some further tests. And understandably, she's quite nervous about going into a hospital at the moment, and so has put off having those additional tests. And I think it's really important to be aware of the fact that patients might use virtual consultations as an opportunity to hide once they hang up the phone or they press leave on the Teams meeting. That can be it for 6 months, for 12 months. And even if they know that there's other things that they perhaps need to be doing, they might feel that they can, for want of a better word, get away with not doing them, because there is that sense of invisibility and anonymity that comes with a virtual consultation. And while in the non-COVID world, Janet might find herself back in the surgery 3 months later for a completely unrelated issue, there would be the opportunity for the nurse or the GP or whoever she was seeing to say, oh, Janet, have you gone for those blood tests yet? And there'd be that reminder, there'd be that continuation. While that's not happening, there really is the onus on patients to take responsibility for their own self-management and to follow up on those discussions themselves, which we know can be difficult. And so it's about thinking how perhaps we can work in slightly different ways. Can we send a text message to all of our diabetes or our asthma or our COPD patients just to check in with them? Can we do a follow-up call in 3 months? So not a formal review, but just, again, a check-in to make sure that everything's okay. And it can be as simple for patients as having that prompt from a healthcare professional to go, oh yes, I must go for those blood tests, and not give them that opportunity to hide. Saying all of this, we know everybody is busy and that services are very stretched at the moment, and it might not always be possible. And we know that as professionals, we are doing the best that we can. And so it really is about making every contact count. When we're thinking about that telephone consultation or that video consultation, have we done everything in that time that we can? Have we reiterated how important it is to go for that test? Have we fully explained what to keep an eye out for during your foot exam? Have we made sure that generally the patient is feeling okay? Have we made sure they're not feeling isolated, that there's no signs of anxiety there? Have we dropped in a mention of smoking cessation, if appropriate? It's really about being prepared for that consultation, almost having a checklist of things that you'd like to discuss that go beyond the specific long-term condition, because realistically, you might not interact with that patient again for another year. And so it's about maximising that time for both parties. As I've said, there is a lot more information about remote consultations, about some of the skills and about some of the opportunities in this week's fact sheet. So do have a look on our website and have a read. Remember, there's also a library of previous fact sheets and podcasts that look at a range of respiratory issues during the pandemic. And there are also details on the website of all of our training opportunities, including our academic short courses and our non-accredited courses within the Learning Academy. Thank you very much for listening. I hope you found this podcast useful, and we will be back with you next week with another fact sheet. Goodbye.